Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and we've got a very special show lined up for you with my good friend Todd McGreevy of the River Cities Reader. But before we get there, I want to give everybody an update on the just ridiculous hoops and censorship I've been going through with YouTube. So, as a lot of you know, I protested the fact that they took my channel down because of a mixed martial mindset episode where I just showed a changed headline, an inverted headline of Forbes. Took about 48 hours, but they actually admitted that they were wrong. And then I got my channel back. So we're going to go over this entire interaction. So then I said, you know, my other two current strikes are completely fraudulent. And they actually got back to me. I said, I want those removed too. And one of them actually ends up getting removed while I'm asleep last night. But that's not the funny part of the story. Yesterday at 5 p.m. when they gave me my channel back and removed that strike, I had the ability to live stream. So I began to live stream at about 11:15 with the Epstein story that we had these new photographs, some of which had documents that were blacked out in binders. And as I was doing that stream, I get cut off. It says community guidelines strike. That video is removed and I am once again kicked off of YouTube, but I have access to my site. They then cite a video I did 9 months ago that has two parts, a uncensored part and a censored part about Cuomo as yet another community guidelines strike. So after I wrap the video up, I again contact YouTube. They give me the standard answer. And I go, look, I don't thank you, but I don't want the bot talk. You just gave me my channel back 7 hours ago and admitted you were wrong. And you took me down again. I go, there's an uncensored part and a censored part of this video. I'll be showing these exchanges. So lo and behold, they actually take that strike away too. And they take away this other strike on a Spike Lee video where they said it was medical misinformation. I proved them false on that. I was awaiting my strike to be taken away from the cyberbullying with Epstein. That doesn't get taken away. So why am I talking about all this? You got your channel back, right, Jason? No, actually, I still can't stream because when I woke up, they flagged yet another video that I supposedly got strike two on, even though now the Cuomo video that they flagged mid-video that took off my Epstein video has been reinstated, and my Epstein video hasn't. So now I've got to battle these people to say that you flagged me again falsely. That is fraudulent. All of these are fraudulent, and I want my channel back because I'm sick of the selective enforcement. I'm sick of rules for thee and not ye. I'm a little guy, but I punch up. And speaking of little guys that punch up, there's a guy named Todd McGreevy. He happens to be on Twitter as well, at Todd McGreevy. And you can see his River Cities Reader, what you get in print, which is awesome. We need more print media, over at rcreader.com. He's highlighting people like Whitney Webb and James Corbett in the newest edition. I'm really happy to have him on. Todd, how are you, sir?
Good, Jason. Very good. Thanks for having me on. And gosh, it sounds like we need like a scorecard or a how to fight a YouTube for Dummies book here, you know?
Well, here's the thing. You often do not get the attention of an actual person on YouTube, but it is because of the Burmis Brigade and because of social media pressure. And I actually did. I reached out to a lot of people behind the scenes and said, listen, I really need a retweet right now because it has nothing to do with whether or not I broke these rules. It's all selective enforcement. It's the outrage on social media and the exposure of their hypocrisy that will ultimately get my channel back. And that is exactly what happened. And I even talked to some big names behind the scenes that didn't retweet me and but said, hey, I hope you get your channel back. And then I did. And then during that exchange, they took it away again.
Wow.
So right now I have two strikes. I still have my channel. My Epstein video is still down, although it should be up. And really, I'm just waiting to decide when I want to have these exchanges because they're exhausting, man. They're exhausting, you know, fighting big tech.
You poked the bear pretty hard for a long time, Jason. I mean, you bring up YouTube nearly every episode, and I don't know if I can say this or not. I can't, you know.
We're not on YouTube, so you can say whatever you like. We're on Rockfin, so we're 100% uncensored. I may put
you've had to self-censor while, you know, while you were live streaming on YouTube, and subsequently, I mean, it's just a. Anyway, I sympathize, but I don't empathize, because you punch up and you're just poking the bear all the time. What do you expect him to do? Really? Give me a break. Give me an effing break.
Well, let him come after me, but I think the more we point out this hypocrisy, and I think one of the big reasons that they're going after me right now is because they know that no matter what, I'm going to have growth via the Epstein case and that being highlighted. They can suppress growth to a certain extent. They can shadow ban to a certain extent. But once somebody sees something that I put out, and, you know, I just reviewed that entire hour and 20-minute Epstein video where I'm a supposed cyberbully. Jason Burma's the cyberbully. And this is shortly after Epstein, quote-unquote, takes his own life, before Maxwell has been caught, before I've even met Maria Farmer. We actually meet through these videos and have her on my show, the initial Epstein whistleblower that we know about that went to the FBI and the NYPD back in 96. And when I saw that I got this retroactive strike over a month ago on a video from January 2020, and it wasn't medical misinformation, it was cyberbullying, I said, well, boy, they're coming. And on top of that, I wonder if this is it right here, if this brings it up. So this is YouTube giving me my channel back. But let's just type in YouTube community, okay? We'll put it in quotes so everybody can see it. On August 3rd, they age restricted. August 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd. These are just videos that they age restricted. And the vast majority of these videos are either videos on Epstein. One of them happens to be the FBI video inside the Palm Beach home, that hour-long video that they used in court, and then 9/11 videos. And I got to thank you for doing that bang-up September issue where you questioned 9/11. But for instance, the Barry Jennings interview is age-restricted here. Anthony Saltalamacia, who is the man who was with Willie Rodriguez in the basement of the towers that corroborates all of his story. No Jason Burmes commentary, just 20 minutes of Anthony. That's age restricted here. So I knew they were eventually coming, and it was going to go beyond just trust the science. And here we are, man. We're here. And again, they got another one this morning, even though they just gave me back the channel. You know, I didn't even get an email, I think, about the Cuomo video. You know, here it is. Cuomo ruins the Yankees and a lot more. Let's click on it. I think it's still up now. Oh, it has been removed, but they took away the strike. So weird. So weird. So they so that one has not come back, but the strike is gone. And then I wanted to see if they gave me the more recent one. Everybody gets to see my email, guys. A lot of junk. Is that right here? Yeah. I have another. See, that's gone. And let's see if I can bring up studio for people here. It's all arbitrary. So here we go. So we'll bring this up here, and people will be able to see it. And now, as you can see, I have three strikes, right now? Somehow. Well, let's get those strikes up. So they did. They did give me – I still do have a strike on the Cuomo, but I shouldn't have access, so I'm going to have to appeal that. And then there's another one right here. That they've got me on. They really don't want me on it. And this is mandatory monsters. These people are traitors. And this is a video where I just go over that they want mandates on all of these vaccines in New York on your children without your consent. And I don't criticize anything but the mandates on here. So that's another one I'm going to have to go after. I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it now. And make sure that, you know, I'm 100% right on this, but they want me off the platform, period. You can see it here, Todd. And that's why.
Why don't they just pull the Band-Aid? Why don't they just cut you off? I don't get what they can do whatever they want.
They can, but it's a bad look, right? It's a bad look if Jimmy Dore is saying the same exact thing that Jason Burmes was saying 9 months ago, and now he gets to say it even louder. And Jimmy Dore is not only on the platform, but Jimmy Dore is monetized, right? And the same thing with, you know, same thing with Tim Pool. You know, he sits next to Luke Radowski. Obviously, Luke and I are friends. You know, we go over a lot of the same information. They're allowed to say the same. They're allowed to say things and be monetized that I'm not allowed to say anymore.
And that is weird. I didn't get that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So we're just trying to expose the hypocrisy here. And just so everybody knows, we're going to fight those strikes. We want them taken away. The Cuomo one has to go. The cyberbullying one has to go. Even that mandatory one has to go because, again, I don't go into the efficacy of vaccines there whatsoever. I just read the bills that were in the state Congress and Senate.
Yeah. So that's fascinating. Poole and Rudowski and the other Dore, they can say vaccine and not have to say boopity boop like you do, and they stay monetized.
They can say ivermectin. You know, I can't say ivermectin. You know, it's like they can say things that I just cannot touch. They can play videos of Fauci contradicting himself. That's a no-no on my channel. So, again, they let you know in their terms of service that exceptions will be made. But at the same time, there's an algorithmic dragnet on certain creators that they don't like, that they try to deploy. And then even if you appeal it, there's who knows who's watching it, right? Who's that human eye? They get to make a decision that's completely right. Arbitrary. And for instance, when I pointed out, let me see if I have it here. I think I do. So people can see this live. This is the exchange between me and Twitter. Oh, let's see if they've taken it down all of a sudden. I sure hope not. Well, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. Here we go. You know, this starts out with the video that they did end up getting rid of the strike on. And here it was me just, if you don't know, Todd, basically I showed that this URL here, it says COVID vaccines don't alter your DNA. They help choose cells to strengthen your immune response. This is a Forbes headline. Now, the funny thing is the original headline read the complete opposite. Oh, it gets better, Todd. This is why they kicked me off.
I've not seen that yet.
So it says, yes, the vaccine changes your DNA a tiny bit. That's a good thing. The funny thing is that if we go back to the actual URL, obviously that's a screenshot, and we hit copy on the URL so everybody can see it. Let's see if I'm going to bring up a notepad so everyone can see this isn't a trick and Jason Burmis isn't typing things. What do you think the URL says? In the URL, Todd, right there, it says, yes, the vaccine changes your DNA a tiny bit, but that's a good thing. So they
left the URL the same?
Yes, they left the URL. It's still up right now. So I pointed that out and I said, you know, I guess that 2 + 2 = 5. And we have always been at war with Eurasia. And I mean, you can watch the clip. Obviously, I highlighted it in the above exchange. And they knew I was right. And it wasn't because I was right that I got it back. It's because I was right and 190 people liked it and 110 people retweeted it. And they put pressure and there was at Team YouTube. So it gets, here we go. They say, hey, we just heard back. Again, this is like 48 hours and you're not in violation. So they admit they're wrong on that. All right. I get my channel back. And then this is where you removed this video. They got me. And now they're like, thanks for the info. So getting back to where we were at, that Spike Lee video that was one of these strikes, in it, just Sam Tripoli quickly mentions the fake ivermectin story the media was running with. And of course, that was the story about gunshot victims not being treated, right? Because people were overdosing on ivermectin. So I pointed out that, you know, he's the only one that says it. This is what it said. It's a 9/11 video. Here's the fact check. Here's the fake story. Here it is. That strike's gone. They don't like being proven wrong in the public arena, right? So that's what you got to continue to do. And I said, where's the cyberbullying? They haven't responded to this one yet. And so we're going to keep on keeping on, Todd. That's the whole point is hold the media military industrial complex accountable. You know, there's somebody that's working at YouTube that's on that Twitter account that doesn't know who Jason Burmis is. That doesn't understand why these algorithms are against him. That's like, hey, wait a minute. This isn't any different from some of these other creators. Why is he getting flagged? And then what do? They reverse their decision. There are still human beings behind this. It is not ultimate AI, and you must continue to expose the hypocrisy. Something I think you do cover to cover in the reader.
Well, it's... As an independent journalist for 30 years, yeah, we've been trying to uncover hypocrisies for a long time. This the current issue that's on the stands, I'll hold up the print edition. I was I'll hold it still so it can be.
We got you. The Green New Steel, my friend.
Yep. It just came out. It's being distributed right now in the Quad Cities at over 300 locations on both sides of the river here in Illinois and Iowa Quad Cities. I caught Whitney Webb on James Corbett. It was a November 25th broadcast. He did an interview with Whitney, and she had written two articles that he highlighted. One she wrote in October, one she wrote in November. And I went and read the articles. The interview was so compelling. I said, you know what? We should publish these articles in our newspaper, at our website, and get more exposure for these stories that she's uncovered. And it's not like she has some secret. She went and read the documents. She read the publicly available documents of the Glasgow, Alliance for Finance. And she went and read all the publicly available documents. Like she does, like she's want to do is, read the stuff that's publicly available. And she distilled it, phenomenally well. If you pick up a printed copy or you go to our website, rcreader.com, I have a piece that I wrote, kind of an intro to why we published their stuff. I call it, I picked the term from Whitney. And I had not heard this term before, but brains and bags to the billionaires is what she said in her interview with Corbett. The people that are buying into the new scheme, buying into the scam of the world banksters creating natural asset companies, NACs. They're going to monetize nature because they care so much about us, Jason. They care so much about us, as you know. And anyway, she went on to say, these people have given their brains and their bags over to the billionaires. And so I transcribed the last 3 minutes of their interview, actually, and put it in print so people could read it. It's very incisive. It's very insightful to the sheer hypocrisies of this whole new green steel. That was Kathleen's term, my wife, who's the editor of the Reader. Instead of the new green deal, the new green steel, we call it. And maybe you've heard that somewhere else. I don't know if that's original or not, but it certainly applies. And as she and James point out, the hypocrisy of feeling these people that are supporting all of the initiatives for zero emissions, and we got to have more electric cars, we have to get off the petrol, we have to change up the whole economy and all that good stuff. They're sheer hypocrites because the people that are going to be impacted the most are the people that can afford at the least, and those are the people, the indigenous people and the disenfranchised people in these poor countries where these mines are, that's why.
And by the way, those same people will still utilize that technology and laugh in our face when we point out the hypocrisy of the private jets and the mansions. And that's the whole idea, because, this new green steel, as you call it, moves into a social credit score, which is really a carbon credit score that these people will never be beholden to. And they talk about, social equity, that somehow you're going to be a better person. They'll never be beholden to that. They are sociopaths. No, you are going to be subservient and obedient for your slave rations. And that's really where this is moving.
Freedom as a service is what this is getting into. And Corbett brought that up. And, I listened to Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on No Agenda a lot. And months ago, Curry pointed out that all of these vaccine mandates and the multiple vaccines and the boosters is immunization as a service, as a utility. I thought that was pretty intriguing. Now, this takes it to a whole other level. This is just general. Forget immunization. We're talking freedom as a service. Oh, you want to walk through the forest? Oh, you want to swim in this ocean? Oh, you want to take a bike ride on this trail? You better scan in here. Did you do anything? Did you have any violations on Twitter lately? Oh, have you gotten your latest booster? All the fiat mechanisms they're going to put in place are going to be governing how you have access to nature. If this Frankenstein of what they're doing comes to life,
absolutely, and they're trying to get it passed, and they're really trying to obfuscate that fact with a zombie sitting there talking about building back better when we know he wasn't even the first one talking about it. It was the heads of the World Economic Forum in this country. It was Andrew Capo Cuomo. These are the realities. And I got to tell you, I was watching Tucker Carlson last night. You bring up the shots. And he had Glenn Beck on. And I was just totally and completely bewildered when finally somebody, and Glenn Beck in particular, pointed out that not only these shots were DARPA-driven through Moderna, but they were already in place before COVID-1984 hit this country. And, you know, we've talked about Moderna a lot in this on this broadcast. We brought it up. It was only this week when we started showing on the Alex Jones Show, which I've been hosting the fourth hour of, that the page came down of the DARPA-Moderna partnership from 2013.
Oh.
On their own page. So anybody can go to the Wayback Machine, and here it is. DARPA awards Moderna Therapeutics a grant for up to $25 million to develop messenger RNA therapeutics. And they talk about infectious diseases and engineered biological threats. So against bioweapons, working with the military-industrial complex to deploy these rather quickly. The other part... What's that? This is DARPA awards Moderna Therapeutics a grant for up to $25 million. It gets better, Todd. So,
what's the date?
Oh, that's 2013. So Beck goes 13. Back. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Beck goes back to 2015 last night, which I was like, wow, awesome. He's doing this. Let's talk about it a little more. So they actually had a strategic collaboration. This is Moderna and DARPA, right, with Bill and Melinda Gates and AstraZeneca, among Merck and others. It's all right here. This was launched pretty much at the same time to treat rare diseases and cancers. Remember, these are mRNA research drugs and therapeutics. They were never called vaccines back then. But really, they let their teeth hang out when they were going to the investors at Xconomy. Anybody can look at this. It's still up there. Oh, it's really to fight pandemics. That's what this DARPA grant is for from 2013. And Beck went into great detail of how the government actually owns part of the property rights of the Moderna vaccine and how all of these were DARPA driven. My jaw was on the floor. People can currently see it. And it's a longer segment. That's why I didn't post it over on Twitter yet, because they only give me 2 minutes and 20 seconds, you know, or I have to go live, which maybe I will go live with it. I'm probably going to do a video. But they can watch the whole segment. And when I heard Glenn Beck explaining that this technology was not new, that the outbreak was not known, and these shots were getting ready to be distributed anyway, I was jaw on the floor, Mr. McGreevy. And it puts the nail in the coffin for all the naysayers out there that have tried to downplay DARPA's role in this and the military-industrial complex movement of Operation Warp Speed that I know you've covered.
Oh, yeah. Well, so we both know Dr. Katz, the Fauci of the Quad Cities. And he is the medical director for a massive blood bank here, formerly known as the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center. Now they changed their title to... what's the name of it? I'll think of it in a second here. It's like some new phrase, their new brand. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I ran into a person I know who works for him at a public event over the summer. And she went on. The reason I'm bringing this up is twofold. We were going on talking about the vaccines and so forth. And she was out loud. Oh, no, this research for mRNA has been done for 20 years, Todd. This is not new technology. So she, you know, these are the Kool-Aid drinkers. You know, they're all into it. And when anybody that, you know, is hesitant like me brings up, you know, this, you know, it's experimental technology. Oh, no, we've had this for 20 years. We're finally out loud. We finally have a chance to use it. So I don't think that the players that are what I'm trying to say is, it's not been trying to be kept hidden from us that it's old technology. In fact, some people are lauding that it's...
Well, they're lauding it until you point out that it's Defense Department driven under the cover of night in a fascistic manner by partnering with these zombie companies, right? As soon, like, one of the things I wanted to confront Katz about, we just didn't have the time, was he did bring up the fact that these things had been studied for decades. And I wanted to ask about the DARPA-Moderna partnership. So then you're aware. And then you can say this to them. So you are also aware that the Defense Department does not have a track record of being honest with the American people and, in fact, has a license to lie to us on any national security matter. That's factual, correct? Well, they wouldn't lie about this. That's the only response they can give you. Well, they wouldn't do it because everybody knows legally they can do it, Todd.
Yes, they can. Absolutely. Absolutely, they can. Well, recall, and we need to follow. I need to follow up with Dr. Katz. He said he would be willing to have another debate with us, and he would bring his pals.
Well, you know how I said, Todd. Please, you might I chomp at the bit for moments like that. Please, just give me an opportunity to have a laptop hooked up to a projector in front of people, and the opportunity to respond to whatever they say. And this college dropout will eviscerate anybody with three initials, PhD or otherwise, in front of their names, because at the end of the day, they know they live in a false reality. All of them have compromised at some point, not only in their lives, but during this COVID-1984 nightmare. There's no way for them to use cognitive dissonance for everything. And especially somebody like him, who's putting out all the same authoritarian talking points that a Fauci puts out. That presentation, as you know, that he put on was purposely deceptive. You know, I had to stop him as he gave out the definition of what an infection was rather than a transmission, right? People would think that those are almost the same thing. Or that fully vaccinated means you took two shots and 2 weeks later. That plenty of these people that were in the hospital had either taken one or two shots when they stayed out of the hospital before taking any of them. You know, they don't volunteer that information. It's almost kind of like my battle with YouTube. You've got to root out the buffet of lies with the admissions of morsels of truth. And I want to thank some people for tipping in the chat there. Jim Garrison, Jason Spelling, some beans out, spilling some beans of truth out with McGreevy. Damn tootin'. And then Susan, thank you so much. What do you think when you see the buffet of lies that the mainstream media puts out, and then you take these morsels of truth and you try to make them into the buffet, right? That's what the River City Reader is.
Real quick on back on the Katz thing, just for clarity and that was hosted by the World Affairs Council of America, the local branch, local club, whatever you want to call it, of the World Affairs. And I didn't even really know who they look up. Look up worldaffairscouncils.org is the master.
You mean the goons that were in masks that were trying to take away my camera and stop me from filming? Those people that wanted to try to treat me like a child, Todd?
Yes. It was the continue. World. So I would propose to you that what, in my view, now I don't have any evidence of this, but that if we went and did some research, we could probably find, and we should probably do this, that in that 30-day cycle, there was probably multiple World Affairs Council branches, chapters, that's the word I was looking for, chapters across America that had their own guy come or gal come and make a presentation. Now, to Katz's credit, he is really, really connected to, I mean, he's been inside this DC system for a long time, and he's very well connected. And so he's probably a little bit ahead of the curve of most local health officials, if you will. But I'm guessing that the World Affairs Council put together the slide deck and said, okay, here's the slide deck that goes out to all the speakers on the in the chapters. And you get your local guy and he plugs in his or her local stuff. And so I would just propose that as a likely thing to happen. You know, I lost you.
I hit the mute button. Sorry about that. Do you think that's the case? When you have the demon hand holding a crystal ball towards the end and then cracking jokes about people dying of the virus. And then if they're not vaccinated, they're going to go to hell. Like literally those are the jokes and the things that they put out there during the end. I wanted so much more interaction, but they literally, one of these World Council people, one of the guys that did not grab at my camera or try to degrade me as a child, he just kept talking to try to take away our opportunity at the end to ask any type of questions. And I had to repeatedly interrupt him to start asking questions because clearly they did not want any contentious response to the narrative that they were trying to create.
What I'd like to do is follow up with McCullough. And I've listened to him on numerous podcasts and get him. He says we do these speaking tours and we're having 500 people to 5,000 people at auditoriums. And so he's open to that type of presentation, which is pretty, you know, it's in other words, I'm not sure that McCullough's ever been involved in a debate with somebody like Katz, which I think if we got McCullough on the table and maybe Del Bigtree and yourself in the same room and and we let Katz know that, I think he would raise the bar and he'd bring some heat, and we would have a really interesting dynamic debate.
I love it.
Rather than, I mean, I think it would be incredible. I think it would be massive audience, huge audience.
Yeah, I think so too. And you make it at least 90 minutes to 2 hours so people can give in-depth responses. And look, I'm ready to go. I love these debates because every single time that I get in that arena and someone tries to use some Bernaysian talking point, there's plenty of data points that you can put out there that totally and completely eviscerates this narrative. And he knew that. You know, there were so many things in that slide I wanted to challenge, from the ratio of side effects to the point that he said that VAERS was not a reliable source of data, right? And it, you know, again, every study into VAERS over the years has actually shown that these are underreported instances. And with any drug, the way that they begin to be recalled is what? People who take the drug telling somebody it did bad things to them. Like that's how it happens. So again, the pomposity of these people, and you know, they know damn well that this wasn't a vaccine until 2019, 2020, when they changed the definition. They know damn well that there aren't any double-blind studies, which I had to call him out on. You know, he's presenting like we already have the information in the studies. And I go, oh, these are double-blind studies? No. Had I pushed him further to the point of, do we have access to the raw data, that also would have been false, right?
Yeah.
But again, like you said, they have their talking points. They have their little presentation to give, and they don't expect an informed populace to challenge them, and they certainly don't want any kind of record of that informed populace challenging them.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all. So what I have to put that on my to-do list, Jason, is get a hold of McCullough. If any of your listeners have I'm sure we can figure out how to find him. And I think a venue that would be really be the Adler Theater. Have you ever been inside the Adler in downtown Davenport?
I don't think that I have been. I really haven't been. You know me, I'm not that new anymore, but outside of the bars and the restaurants a little bit, and obviously the riverfront or the river center where the fights are. You know,
that's right across the street.
Oh, is it right across the street? Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about now. So that's the theater right across the street? No, I've not been inside. I would look forward to having something like that there. Yeah. That would be excellent.
That would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, I encourage everybody to go to rcreader.com, check out the Green New Steel coverage we have up there. Kathleen wrote an article in the printed edition that I'm going to be posting here shortly online as well. She goes into the whole Build Back Better and breaks that down thoroughly, deconstruction of that bill. She also talks about our mutual friend Diane Holst, one of our former Scott County supervisor, who recently, and this, we're the first ones to report this here in the Quad Cities, the county on the, remember the, it was about three Fridays ago, the courts ruled that the mandate that Biden was trying to force upon
federal workers.
Yes.
And the federal mandate had basically been shot down, that if you had more than 100, and I think it maybe even went down to 60 at some point, employees, that you had to have them vaccinated.
So that got shot down in the courts, as is not you know, going to happen. But yet that same day that got shot down, the HR director for the county issued a letter to all of the department heads saying that everybody had to be vaccinated. And sends this out across, you know, to all the department heads who are supposed to dutifully tell all their staff now. And Diane got wind of it, and she got in the middle of it. And it took about a week, but she had to get a hold of the county attorney and all this stuff. And finally, and of course, the supervisors, they're feckless. You know, we call them rubber stampers. They're like, she called up the supervisors, which she was one of them, and asked them, what are you guys doing? Why are you letting the staff run policy without you guys having a vote on this stuff? Oh, you know, it'll take care of itself. You know, they wouldn't want to be bothered with it. You know, this, so we need watchdogs like that where you live. You know, the county is a critical, it's the quiet government. Most people don't even know about their county government.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Because, you know, that seems like an extension of what we've seen with masking of children, again, in Iowa. It was banned by the governor. You have this partisan judge, right, come in and basically say, no, you can do it because of this lawsuit. And now it's still in Davenport, you know, mass children. It's right around the corner, still in our same county. But finally, The Ankeny moms have won again. They've won again. They voted out the other school board successfully, and their kids are not masked again. So I want to say this. They fought hard. They got the masks off of everybody in Iowa. Then you have some, again, feckless bureaucrat doing the bidding of the predator class authoritarians that literally want to torture your children. Make no mistake about it. I was actually very happy to see I posted this on Facebook that my former superintendent posted one of those memes showing all these people at stadiums and concerts having a good time and then your kids and being like, you think this is okay? Exactly.
Right.
So he gets it. But all of a sudden, again, I've been to these board meetings and it's all about equity and inclusivity and really this radical agenda that has nothing to do. And the green agenda, they put that in there with it. You know, it was all about recycling. Meanwhile, you're torturing kids, and every time a parent comes up and points out you're torturing their kids and this is unacceptable, you cut them off after 2 minutes and you refuse to vote on it. These people need to be stopped. They need to be confronted. They need to be taped. They need to be exposed, period. And they do need to be publicly shamed. You know, everybody wants to talk about cancel culture. Well, that culture to me is absolutely ridiculous because what we were trying to build was a culture of the little guys confronting members of the predator class, members of the Bilderberg group, members of the Obama administration or the Bush administration at the time, and asking them tough questions about the war on terror, asking them tough questions about Iraq, asking them tough questions about drone policies. That's gone, man. That's totally gone. You know, instead of putting those people on blast and saying, hey, expose them, what is it? It's like cancel anybody that's outside of the narrative. No, these people have petty power. Expose them. Expose them.
The difficult part is keeping this stuff front and center. You and I are paying attention, and my wife, Kathleen, you know, listens to podcasts all day long, all over the spectrum, everything under the sun. And it's just the populace in general can't even – I mean, remember – think about it. The FOIA request finally got settled, and the FDA had to disclose all those documents that said, "Oh yeah, but all these people died with the initial trials."
No one died. USA Today says that's a total bullshit story. There's a fact check on that. Doesn't matter that the documents show you. I went over this that 1,200 people died just from the first dump of the documents, which is a minuscule amount, by the way, a minuscule amount, and it wasn't. Wasn't like it was a ton of people in that test. It was an alarmingly small number of people that included some people, I believe almost 1,000 that were under 17. Okay, not dead, but part of that study. So Gateway Pundit published the documents. We went over them. USA Today says it's fake, Todd.
It should be front page news on every local daily paper across America that came out. And if you do a search at QuadCityTimes.com, you know, KWQC.com, the big NBC affiliate here where we live, it's going to come up nothing. They're not going to talk about it at all. I'm surprised USA Today even brought it up because that just brings attention to it. That's fascinating to me. And then you take things like, remember David Martin when he came out with that, he named all the names of the players involved with the military technology and so forth, and, you know, kind of doxed those people. Do you remember all that?
Oh, I know all about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but I mean,
he didn't dox anybody. He basically read the contracts that the military-industrial complex had with private citizens that has been running for well over a decade that we're trying to expose now. You know, he's basically gave one of the same threads that we saw last night on Tucker Carlson. And yes, here it is right here. Fact check. COVID-19 vaccine safe for children, not linked to deaths. You know, and again, they talk about the Gateway Pundit, you know, that put out the documents. They don't show you the documents that the Gateway Pundit showed you. We'll bring those up right now.
USA Today is an abomination. Gannett is an abomination. It's just it's their evil empire. Not good.
Here it is. Court orders them to comply, and anybody can look at the numbers and the documentation. Fatal. It's right there. It's fatal. 1,223, okay, and out of roughly a little over 42,000, close to 43,000 people. That's a lot of people that died from the shot, according to this, incredible. You know.
And fast forward to you know, how do you get, you know, the guy at the end of the bar to give a shit? It's the quintessential challenge.
It's so hard because so many of them have bought into the Bernaysian talking point. So many of them are watching The Masked Singer, Todd, right? Like their biggest their biggest concern is like their favorite series or their favorite sports team. And there's time for that, right? You know, but you hang out with me outside of this. And so many people out there, even though they see my happy-go-lucky attitude, even when covering this dark stuff, say, that's got to be an act. You're full of shit, Jason. You must live like a very dark and lonely life.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Not at all. I think if you allow that to happen, if you allow that to happen, they win, right?
Yeah.
So though I'm sitting next to some schlub at the bar that buys into every talking point, I'm going to try to have a good time. And if that conversation comes up, I'm going to try to find a way that I can find that little morsel we talked about of truth that they understand and they get and expound upon that, right? Or try to show them something that's so inverted in reality and common sense, like that Forbes article, right? Which is the complete opposite headline that it had. And have someone go,
URL.
Wow. Hilarious. Okay. All right. Well, that is a little weird. Maybe that I'm not that far down the Orwell train. So, you know, you got to try, right? You got to still have empathy for your fellow human being. And I always say that you're going to make more friends with honey and trying to play up to their intelligence where they do get it than to talk down to their ignorance.
Well, that's what we try and do with the reader have for, you know, since 1993. So, is to elevate the dialogue and get more flies with honey, but also expose the hypocrisies that people need to know about. So I appreciate you spreading the word about this issue, the Green New Steel. I encourage everybody to check it out.
Awesome, Todd. Tell everybody where they can get a newsletter or they can reach you, obviously, at Todd McGreevy, but you're not that active on Twitter. So let people know how they can also get involved and encourage people out there, start your own thing. You know, if it's not a printed thing and it's just an online newsletter, put these people on blast locally because that's where we can make that big difference.
If you go to rcreevy.com on the right side column, you'll see a place you can subscribe for weekly email updates. That's a quick way to get involved and stay in tune with what we're up to. If you look on that far right side, you scroll down a little bit there, Jason, you'll see keep going a little farther, please. There you go, right there, the COVID, see it says COVID Curious.
Mm-hmm.
There on the right.
Which one's that?
Right. That's where you can subscribe right there. You're right there. Yep. But then, right there, right here, COVID Curious. Yeah, so we have, if you click on that, that'll take you to all the articles we published about COVID. All the articles that are tagged about COVID. We have extensive articles, lots and lots of research. Kathleen is just voracious about it. So there's that. And then I also have tagged about all our coverage of 9/11, and I have tagged all our coverage of Assange. We had Assange on the cover last month and published Caitlin Johnstone's pieces about Assange. We have free Assange at the top of every one of our pages. I mean, in our view, if he goes down and he gets indicted and actually is, you know, ultimately taken out. I mean, it is the most chilling effect there is. We won't have any more whistleblowers anymore
Absolutely.
In our lifetime.
Absolutely. We can't marginalize that. And that's a huge failure of the Trump administration. And one of the main reasons that I say to people, you're insane if you think Trump 2024 would be a positive thing. It would only cause more division. And quite frankly, when the chips were down, he failed. Todd, I want to thank you so much for making the time. We got to do it more often, my friend. And perhaps I will see you for a beer maybe this evening or sometime over the weekend, my friend. Perhaps.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, my friend. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks a lot, man. Have a good night.
Everybody, if you want to support this broadcast, please consider going to the GoFundMe down below. Again, you know what's going on YouTube. Yeah, the channel's there right now, but I can't post. They could take it away tomorrow. I'm going to have to fight hard to get everything back, which we will do. Because so much of this continues to be selective enforcement. Rockfin, right? I mean, this is it. This is the one they took me down for, in the middle of it. Everybody got to see it. Just pretty wild stuff. We're over 43,000 strong there. $99.99 for the year or $9.99 a month. We're trying to make some big innovations where you guys can interact even further and we can draw more people to this platform. Remember, it is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I love you guys. Let's become that great resistance to this very real Great Reset agenda. See you on the flip side.